This week I entitled my message Unbound, and I'm using a familiar passage in Luke chapter 24. If you're familiar with Luke 24, you know that's commonly talked about, the walk to Emmaus, when Jesus appeared to the disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. And then later in the chapter, starting at verse 44 through 53, Jesus was talking again. Verse 44, he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must come true." Then he opened their minds to understand these many scriptures. He said, "Yeah, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who turn to me. You are my witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father had promised. But stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Now, this latter part, through the end of the chapter, is about the ascension. Verse 50, "Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting up his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all their time in the temple praising God." May God add the blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious Word. You know, we have a culture that we're in, our culture, whatever that may be. It's kind of challenging. But the culture that we live in the United States primarily, we always say, you know, we got to be open-minded. And that means to be receptive to novel thoughts and ideas beyond our current perception or beyond our current trends in life. We got to be flexible and adaptable, and we got to be open to new experiences, to be open to information that challenges our current beliefs. Open-minded people are curious people, open-minded to ambiguity rather than embracing dogmas. They're willing to be uncomfortable and explore unknown realms of the mind. We are essentially curious. Amen? Well, it's interesting that the ancient Jewish people, or what we call the Hebrews, their mind, by its nature, according to Freud, tended to be more open to the idea that truth can lie beyond ordinary perception. Due to their focus on the mind, study, inquiry, reaching into chasms of the unknown through their language, through metaphors, and through faith, even their concepts of the eye and ear served as an idea that these could lead to some kind of spiritual knowledge that lie far beyond the normal and everyday experiences. The power of the mind and the heart could be augmented by the fact, by God, as we see in the spiritual and scriptural stories, such as Jacob's ladder and Abraham's covenant, or even the revelation of John, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in the last month of his life in exile in London, dying of cancer, his Vienna-occupied Nazis, Freud took up again a manuscript that he had put aside for years before, Moses and Monty Theism. In the last section of the book, he argued that in choosing to worship the invisible God, Jews made the right choice. They opted for the intellectual, not the physical, subordinating sense perception to as an abstract idea. He said Jews sought the unknown beyond the far horizon. They were able at times to suspend concrete, logical answers and ask instead, "What is real?" and to imagine that truth cannot be pinned down but lies in the realm of the divine. Wow. Although in Jesus' day his disciples would have been highly influenced by their Greek surrounding culture, still they were immersed in their faith and their study of the Hebrew language with all its nuance and meaning, and in the art of inquiry. They have learned a bit too much towards the rational many times, and as we see with Jesus' interaction with them. But at the root, they were all above, and they were all curious, and they were open to the instructions of Jesus. They were open to his challenges and to his miracles. And in the scripture we just read, this one would be a doozy. If you ever looked in a mirror in the morning, can you imagine what you see in the mirror is real? Well, a little bit it is, but it's backwards. I know I have a hard time sometimes with even putting on my headset, the microphone thing, at church when I look in the mirror. And I'm looking and I think I'm adjusting it on the left side, and really I'm adjusting it on the right side. It's amazing. But one thing, unless you're holding up what's called a true mirror, which is a double reflecting mirror, what you see is backwards from the way other people see. But secondly, the more important question is this, the image. Are you seeing this image? Is it really a real image, or is it something else? How do you see yourself in the mirror? It's always interesting to compare the way you see yourself to the way others see you, isn't it? If others are also telling you the truth, well, your hair is this or that, or you got a spot here. Well, at times we may perceive ourselves, for an example, just as overweight, when others perceive us to be, yeah, just right. Not so much, Robbie. I know I'm overweight, but I don't know what other people think, and I don't know if I want to know. But we may perceive ourselves as having unruly hair, whereas others may admire it. We may imagine that our clothes are too baggy, whereas another may think us as being fashionable. The truth is, to carry on the pun, that perception is reality. So, what does that say for our vision of reality? What does it say about our minds and about what we know? Do we really know what we know? Perhaps more than we think. Our minds really and truly determine reality and truth based on our own experiences, our own knowledge, perceptions. Somebody who is more open-minded acknowledges one's current knowledge as reality may not be the only one. That our minds may at least be in some way limited, or what is real or true lies far beyond our human abilities. Well, this kind of open-mindedness or curiosity, excuse me, allows us to imagine, envision, and allow for truth that lie far beyond what our minds currently can make sense of. And it allows us to have this thing we call faith. This is why metaphors are so important. They give us an imaginative idea of what something might be like, even if we can't directly experience it or know it, like what God might be like. Throughout the scripture, Jesus gives us metaphor after metaphor for God, for he is as Messiah and Son of God. And for the plan, he is intent on fulfilling. God manifested in the flesh. But more than that, he continually challenges us and his disciples to reach far beyond their current cultural, intellectual, and rational understanding and to embrace the unknown. He needs them to keep their minds open to recognize that what they know is not only the realm of truth. The gospel, the good news, and the future of the mission and the kingdom depends upon it. But Jesus also knows how hard this is, and it is hard. This thing we call faith is really hard, and you got to have a lot of faith to follow Christ. Because he has been with his disciples in human form, he knows how the human mind works, its miraculous creativity, but also its limitations. He knows that they cannot possibly or reliably understand God in reality, the scriptures, or the magnitude of what he is doing, unless he helps them put aside all their sensory impediments and opens up their minds to see not just sensible or having a sensory, but spiritual, and a create an exclusive and an expansive vision of God. We need to hear this. We need God's help to understand who God is. We need God's assistance to see with our spiritual eye of what God wants us to understand about Scripture, about Jesus, and about our discipleship mission. We need God's help, don't we, to cultivate the kind of faith that moves mountains, to have that kind of mind that can wrap itself around miracles as well as the truth about who Jesus is. His death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, and the coming of the Pentecost experience. Well, the passage in our scripture for today is very important for Jesus. In it, we see Jesus opening his disciples' mind, both on the road to Emmaus and back in Jerusalem with the remaining inner circle. He does this just before his ascension, so that they can wrap their minds around what is about to happen. He needs them not only to grasp and understand spirituality, what he is all about and what he is about to do, but to make his ascension the foundational core of their faith and their evangelism. He needs them. He needs them to be impassionate. He needs them to be empowered. He needs their faith intact. And he needs their hearts on fire. Now, as we mentioned last week, if you read the scriptures last week about the ascension. Now, last week we had Heritage Sunday at the pond. I lost my train of thought. But if you were reading the lectionary readings of the scriptures, they provide assurance. For Jesus will be sending the Holy Spirit to him. Now, next week, we'll celebrate that occurrence in the holiday we call Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit sweeps through and anoints each disciple with spiritual knowledge and power. Today, however, he must leave them. His last words to them remind them of their mission, to preach in the name of Jesus to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What should they preach? They should preach Jesus' fulfillment of the scriptures, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that the forgiveness of sin for all people is possible with a change of heart and life. We call it repentance. All those things that are for people everywhere. So unbelievable, right? No. It's not, because it's real. As we looked at the scriptures from last week's lectionary reading, we saw the disciples were afraid and grieving. But this week, after the disciples listened and opened their minds to Jesus to understand the enormity of who he is, what he is, and what he is doing, they were overwhelmed with joy. This is what God can do for each and every one of us. God can open our minds to the unimaginable miracles of God's gift to us through Christ, to the truth of the Scriptures, to the immensity of God's love for all of us, to the mind-blowing truth of God that only can be found in suspending our minds and allowing our faith and our spiritual eyes and ears to lead us. To follow Christ truly and fully, we must be willing to have our minds open to the truth, the realities that go far beyond what we know and recognize to be real. You see, the Christian faith is built upon the spectacular spectacular, the supernatural, the impossible. For this is who God is. If God were everything that we already knew to be true, we'd have no need for God in our lives. Amen? But God is so much greater than that. God is not only a God who unbinds us, or unbound, as my title suggests, but a God who lives out of the bounds of our entire reality, so that we cannot help but praise and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the person of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Today, as you comprehend the truth of Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit, allow Jesus to open your minds to see differently, with new eyes, with the eyes of trust and faith. And my prayer for all of us is that may our hearts be changed and our life be changed continually, one moment at a time, by the one who is in charge. Who's in charge? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we hang on to that other promise, too, that it says in the very end book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, as he is ready to return. Now, we don't know when, only Daddy knows. He told us that clearly. But one thing it is a challenge. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, my prayer is that everybody within the sound of our voice knows our Lord and Savior in a personal way, because it is person. It's a personal relationship with God through Christ. So open your heart, open your mind, open your spiritual ears and say, Lord, I want to know everything about you, and everything they say about you is true. I want you to be in my heart. Come into my heart and be Lord over it. Amen. I pray that you're having a good Memorial Day weekend. See you in church soon. Amen.